Thank you, Brother Joshua. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory.
All right. Praise God. You may be seated. We do like to honor our guests that the Lord sends our way. We're so thankful. We're believing him that he will send us at least 500 guests, new guests, during the course of this year, 2016. And I get the privilege of welcoming, and it looks like maybe a returning guest. And we love those, amen? That means we did something good the first time. Is it Duval Dorton? Duval. Oh, praise God. There he is, Duval. Okay. Duval. Welcome back in Jesus' name. He was one of those that special ops went out and ministered one night and shared the power of God, shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. God did a work in his life and then used him to help witness to some other people that were out there. Praise God. So we continue the work. We thank you for coming back. Now, you brought your children with you? Is that true? Or is it? Okay. Amen. Well, we'll keep them lifted up as well. Thank you for returning. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. All right. And then we have, now forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, Zach Duden. Is that, did I pronounce it right? All right. Welcome, Zach. We welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. Brother Juan invited him. Brother Juan just came here last week, and he went out and told a friend, bless God. That's how you do it. If God moves mightily in your life, go tell somebody. Tell them, man, you got to come. Be like that woman at the well. When Jesus told her everything about her life, she ran and told everybody in her village, come see a man, told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And she led the whole village to where Jesus was. And Jesus preached to them, and they said to her, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we've heard it for ourselves. So bless God. Thank you for coming, Zach. We bless you in Jesus' name. We welcome you. I have one more here. And forgive me if I mispronounce this, but is it Marcella Lazarus? Welcome in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. You were invited by a friend. Are they here today? Praise God. And what's your name again? I'm sorry. Julie? Julie, okay. Welcome. Thank you. She brought a friend with her. Isn't that something? Bless God. Come on. It's good enough for her. She brought somebody else. Get a clue, everybody. Get a clue. Get a clue. Get a clue. Get a clue. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for somebody else. Well, I'm not going to be very long, and I'm really going to hold to this word. If you have time, open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Wasn't that awesome what the Holy Ghost just did? Glory to God. Thank you, woman of God, Pastor Lucia, for being sensitive to the Spirit of God and speaking what the Holy Ghost revealed. One of her familiar quotes and statements is, the Holy Ghost reveals to heal, and holiness is not a new doctrine, it's the only doctrine. Hallelujah. Glory. No matter what this generation and this culture says, holiness is still a good word. Bless God. And it's still required of by God. Paul, who we believe wrote the book of Hebrews, says, in holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You're not going to see him if you don't walk in this. How do you walk in it? Keep following Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep following Jesus, and you will find yourself being sanctified and set apart unto his use and purpose. Hallelujah. Isn't this life a wonderful life? Isn't technology sometimes a burden? Okay. This God kind of life, this lifestyle that Jesus has called us to, it is the best life. And if you don't, and you don't have to say it just to be in agreement with everybody, you need to say it because you've actually tasted and saw that the Lord is good and that what he has to offer is much better than what the world has to offer. I mean, you've tasted of the world, you've done things in the world, and now that you're in the kingdom, you find out that God has something far greater to offer you, a life so much better to give to you, and you start walking down that path and start experiencing, as Paul said, the goodness of the Lord, which leads us unto repentance. Oh, man, once you get there, it's like, wow. You know, he wows us. He blows our minds. He exceeds our expectations. His promises his promises are fulfilled. And you just enjoy this walk, and you just want to walk worthy of it. I mean, you want to measure up to this walk that God has called us to. Not out of fear, being afraid to go to hell, because once we come into Jesus fully, we're on our way to glory. But let's enjoy this walk that we have with him on this earth, because there's a reason for it, that he might be glorified. I shouldn't say this for everybody, but I'll just say it for those who have really sold out to Jesus. We don't do our own thing anymore. Our own thing will get us in trouble. Our own thing will put us in bondage. Our own thing, even though we may think that it's okay, you know, I don't think it requires all of that. I don't think all of that's necessary. That's the carnal mentality. Nowhere will you find that type of a mindset or attitude in the scriptures. You'll only find it by the opinions of people. And you'll hear one person say it, and then they'll say, yeah, you know what, you're right. You know, you're right. It shouldn't require all of that. I mean, you know, that's just too much. But when you look in the light of the Word of God, you find out that these people were so sold out. As I said earlier, they sold their property in order to bless others. Not that they went to be homeless, if you will, but they had such an abundance that they just sold in order to bless other people. And they didn't miss out on anything. It was just the life that they were living, to the point where they were willing to risk their own lives on a daily basis. When persecution came on the church, they didn't just duck and run for cover. Everywhere that they were scattered, they went preaching the word of God. This is the stock. This is our heritage. This is our lineage, if you will. Some people like to do things like, what's it called when you search your family history? But there's a website, a particular one. Ancestry.com. We want to find out our history. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, so don't go into bondage. But we get very interested in trying to find out where we've come from, who our history, who our ancestors are or were. And it can become fascinating, it can become interesting, and then again, it might become, you know, like, I came from that. But when we search our biblical heritage of who we are now in Christ Jesus, because see, the old man passes away, which means that old generation and that old ancient lineage, if you will, it no longer matters. You might have had a murderer in your heritage, your history, your ancestry. You might have had a person who was just a wacko. And you may not even, I don't want anybody to know that that person was in my lineage or my heritage, my inheritance, my genealogy, if you will. And you look in light of the Word of God, and you see, man, these people. I mean, Peter walked down the street, and I've done this before, but just for illustrative purposes, Peter walked down the street in such an anointing that people would lay people out in the streets so that at least the shadow of Peter would touch them and they would get healed and made whole. Did anybody see it? There it is right there. They would lay people out in the streets so that that would touch them. Because just simply if that touched them, they get healed and made whole. With the Apostle Paul, they sent aprons and handkerchiefs to him that he would just, it would just come into contact with his body. Whether he'd do this or something like that, and a couple of times you've seen me, I take my towel after I've been sweating on it. It's not that I'm gross, but I know that there's an anointing that flows, and I'll take it and I'll put it on the saints of God's head. And let the Holy Ghost do whatever he's going to do. You might think that's crazy, but it's in my genealogy. It's in my ancestry. It's a part of my makeup. It's a part of who I am as being a born-again child of God. With some, it's laying hands on the sick, and the sick recover. You don't have to sit there and say, oh, it didn't work. No, you just lay hands and release and keep on moving. You keep on moving because Jesus is the one that's going to do the healing, not you. It's in your lineage. It's in your ancestry. It's a part of your makeup as to who you are. Find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Forget about who we were in the natural. Those days are over. I said, those days are over. I know some of you don't want to let that go, and you feel so connected to it. I'm not saying hate family. I'm not saying hate your ancestry. I'm not even saying be ashamed of it. I'm saying embrace who you are in Christ Jesus. Find out your heritage there so you'll know who you are now. You understand who's on the inside of you. You'll find there's no reason for me to be messed up or confused. There's no reason for me to be in bondage. There's no reason for me to be... I know, here we go again. There's no need for me to be hooked on drugs and hooked on alcohol and need to have to cope with these worldly things in order to survive. I shared with you, I think it was last week, and it was not to be offensive or anything like that, but God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, they're not sitting around waiting for doctors to come up with a cure for cancer. Oh, Jesus, I hope they get it right this time. Did you show them what plant that they need? Did you show them what they need to do in the laboratory? Did you show them? Now, mind you, medical science is good and it's helpful, but it's not like God is sitting back waiting for them to make these great discoveries in order to solve something. No, he's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's not waiting for us to develop some kind of a rehab center that guarantees 100% deliverance of everybody that come in those doors. He can do it all himself. Amen? This is a God we love and serve. This is why it's worth it. It's worth abandoning and forsaking all for him. Then we become more useful in order to minister. And if we can't because our light is so bright, Master, send somebody their way while I go on and take care of your business. Because your work has to get done. Too much is happening on our watch, and the church is not grieved enough, not moved enough, in order to try and do something to counter this mess. You mention a prayer meeting, few people show up. You mention a chicken dinner or a fish fry or something like that, or some kind of a fun fundraiser, crab feed and stuff like that, everybody show up. I mean, you know, since when did... tithes and offerings get old-fashioned to where we're now, you know, we're experts at fundraisers. You know, marketing people get money off of the church by trying to show them fundraisers and marketing schemes and stuff. And all of these, you know, you get inundated with mailings and all of this stuff that comes in, and some of the stuff is so corny. It's like, how in the world did they come up with this, man? But they use these marketing schemes and worldly schemes, and it's because we got so far away from our heritage, our ancestry, what our ancestors did, that we've bought into this worldly way of trying to help make the church exist. God's blueprint for the church still stands tall, tough, and strong. Hallelujah. This is why you've never heard of Threshing Floor Tabernacle. And prior to this, we used to be Shiloh Christian Center. You never heard of us doing bake sales, cake sales, garage sales, and all of that other stuff. Why? Because it's not in the scripture. Anybody will join in for a fundraiser. But how about just a cause to come and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with the first fruits of all your increase? How about come and honor the Father with what honors him? And then watch Daddy just get so excited and just bless your socks off as a result of what you've done. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Randy sent me a text just before he and his lovely wife, Sister Teresa, went on a vacation. He said, hey, Pastor. As a matter of fact, it was a phone call. It was a physical phone call, actual phone call. Hey, Pastor. Praise the Lord, Brother Randy. I just got to tell you, I got a raise. I was like, praise God, Brother Randy. Praise God. I got a raise. And this was like maybe a couple of weeks ago. And then he said, you know what that means, Pastor. What's that? That means TFT gets some more money, too. I'm like, praise God, Brother Randy. That came from tithes and offerings. That didn't come from, you know, bake sales and stuff like that. You know, a church ought to have a garage sale. You know what I call a garage sale? Garbage sale. People getting rid of their garbage, stuff that they don't want anymore. Now, I'm not trying to make people feel bad about that, although you may feel bad about it because of the way I said it. But that's just my personal opinion. And when it comes to my opinion, you can cast it out. You don't have to take my opinion. But just understand the principle of what God has said as a standard for how we are to bring finances and wealth into the kingdom. Do you not know that what Pastor Lucia shared up here, that it is God's desire to take the wealth of the sinner and put it in the hands of the righteous? That's his desire. You read Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He gives the righteous man, like it's like he blesses the righteous man with wisdom and knowledge and everything in order to be successful. And then he takes the sinner who toils and works, and he takes, I'm paraphrasing, he takes what they have made and they have acquired or earned, and then he gives it to the righteous one. And, you know, that's kind of like, man, what God does, do I need to show you that just to, yeah, let me show you so you won't think that we are teaching you false doctrine. I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I want to say verse, is it 26? I was going to say verse 11, but we got to look at that one too, but it's 2:26. I take your word for it, Brother Joshua. Hallelujah. Everybody say glory. Glory. I told you I'm not going to be long. Okay. He's right. 2:26. Oh, verse 11 is kind of like one of those, like, man, why even live? Everything I do is vanity and grasping at the wind. I was like, woe is me. Praise God. Are you there? Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For God giveth to the man that is good, or one that is righteous, in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. Isn't that awesome? The person that is good in his sight, that is a righteous person who is in right standing and position with God. God gives them wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Now, we get doubly blessed. How so, Pastor? Because under the old covenant, it was based on their righteousness, their righteous acts and deeds. But it was never sufficient for God, because their righteousness, as Isaiah said, was as filthy rags. And God always intended to impute his righteousness to us to put us in right position, but that could not be fulfilled until Jesus came on the scene. So under the old covenant, and this is Solomon writing this letter, he's saying, this is what God gives to the good man, the man in right standing with him. He gives him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail. Anybody know what travail is? Most women who've had children know. He giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. And he says, this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. It doesn't seem fair, but this is God's design. So put yourself in proper position and get ready to receive. It's not a wishful thinking type of thing. It's God's word to his people. I'm saying this because of where I'm going to go to in the book of James chapter 4. Because James talks about, and he's straight up, uncut. He's a half-brother of the Lord. Half-brother because they didn't have the same fathers. It might take some of you a little bit to catch up with it, but Joseph was James' earthly father, but he was not Jesus' earthly father. The heavenly father, the Holy Ghost, was Jesus' father. Joseph was basically Jesus' stepfather, if you will, but he took that responsibility of being father. But Mary was already pregnant before she and Joseph came together. Mary got pregnant by the Holy Ghost, virgin birth, okay? But James, the half-brother of God, who did not believe that Jesus was who he was until basically after he rose from the dead, James is like straight up. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? See, there's a reason why God is calling us to himself, to separate us from all manner of evil. He's not trying to make life hard and tough and difficult for us. He's trying to actually show us what life truly is all about. The life that he would live, the life that was manifest in Jesus Christ himself. So the sanctification, the purification, the separation unto God is vitally necessary for the believer, that we might see that God's ways are good. Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel only saw his acts. And if Caleb and Joshua had not partnered with Moses, they could have been just like the rest of them. But just like Moses was of a different spirit, so was Caleb and Joshua of a different spirit. Therefore, they were preserved, while all of the others that were their age and older perished in the wilderness. It was only those 20 and under who were able to go on into the promised land, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. But God said it was because they had a different spirit. In other words, they were totally consecrated. Moses would go and spend time in the tabernacle with God. And when he would go in, the glory of God would come down and it would remain. And Moses would communicate with God, and God would communicate with him. And then Moses would leave out, but Joshua would stay there. He's like, I ain't leaving until the glory leaves. Bless God. And so there's a reason why God calls us to live a certain way as the people of God. There's a reason why he says, separate yourself from darkness. You are now light. Therefore, glorify God. You are light. Light doesn't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Light exposes the unfruitful works of darkness, even if it's our own relatives. They look at it as hate. We look at it as devoted love. Why? Because we ourselves had to make the choice and the decision. We ourselves were doing the very same things that they were doing. But God ministered to us and then brought us out, cleaned us up, and empowered us to live for him. And then says, now expose the darkness. That
There's a reason for this. So James says it in James chapter 4. He says, I got it here. Thank you. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members within your body? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. John says this over in 1 John chapter 2. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, these three are in the world, and they are not of the Father. They are of the world. So lust covers the earth. And when we are born the first time out of our mother's canal, that lust and that pride has control over our lives. That's why we automatically grow up rebelling. We automatically grow up needing to be taught right from wrong. We automatically grow up having to be, no, don't do that. We don't automatically grow up, oh, that's a wonderful thing that you've done. Good, good. Keep on doing it. We have to teach right from wrong. Why? Because the Adamic nature is only acclimated to doing wrong. It's only acclimated to resisting authority. It's only acclimated to rebelling against truth. It's only acclimated to rebelling against God. And so James says, he says this, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, because you may that you may consume it upon your own lust. In other words, the things that we would desire are basically from our lust, our uncontrollable passions and desires, in order to satisfy our flesh, in order to make us seem important. That's where pride comes from, you know, in order to make us seem powerful, if you will. This is what's wrong with many politicians today. They don't want it to help to serve the people and make life better for the people. They simply want power. They do it in politics. They do it in business. It's done everywhere. People have a hunger and quest for power to try and be somebody. It was in Jesus' disciples. He had to rebuke them because they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says, what's this conversation y'all having? And they're like, they zip it up like, nothing. And he exposes what they're talking about. You want to know who's going to be the greatest. And then John and James asked their mother, why don't you ask Jesus to let us sit on his right hand and on his left hand in his kingdom? They wanted power, and Jesus had to break it down to them. Let me tell you who the greatest one is. The greatest one in this group is the one that serves, the one that will wash feet. The one that's not looking for people to serve them, but looking to serve the people. That's the greatest one, and that's what I call you to. I call you to serve. And so James says we desire certain things, and we desire out of lust. It's not out of necessity. It's just greed, if you will. It's uncontrolled passions that come from the carnal nature, and God's not going to put anything in your hands when you're operating like that. So he calls us to the place of purity and holiness and righteousness so that we're not contaminated when we petition the Father. Because when we're in right position with God, just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, that God gives to the good man wisdom, knowledge, and joy, and to the evil man or the corrupt man, he gives travail, hard labor, hard work, that he may gather up and then give it into the hands of the good person. God still has that principle in the earth. But he tries to get us to the place of purity and holiness and righteousness, oneness with him, so that when he empowers us and also when we pray, God answers. He answers, and he answers speedily. Are you getting this? And so it's simple. But nevertheless, walking it out is where the problem lies. And we wonder why things don't happen. It's either us or them, the people that we're praying for, but it's never on God's side. He's simply trying to get us to a place to where there can be that open heaven, to where he can pour out, and we won't consume it on ourselves, but we will give it even to others as he would direct us to. And the more we would give out, the more he would pour in. And the more accountable we are to him and walking up in uprighteousness with him, the more he will cause sinners to come in. I don't know why I'm doing this, but all I know is I've got a check right here for you for $1.5 million. And I'm giving it to you. I don't know why, but here it is. You know exactly why. Why? One, because you are in right position with God. He has favored you, and he has fulfilled his word. It's not so much that you're a goody-two-shoe person. It's just his word, and you lined up with it, and you have not tried to make his word conform to you, to where we start manipulating, and we start claiming the promises, but we won't walk the walk. And if we don't walk the walk, we can't claim the promise. I think Pastor Lucia said it earlier. You know, we want to give the praise report about the job that we just got, but we don't want to bring the tithes and offerings from that job that God blessed us with. Does that make sense? It's not a rebuke. It's just a simple truth. Stand to your feet. It's just a simple truth for God's people. Now, I didn't have time to go into it in detail, but you can read it for yourself. The main part I wanted to get to was in verse 4, where he says, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" That word friendship in the Greek is the word phileia. And what it means is the brotherly love type thing. See, the relationship that God calls us to in the body of Christ, it's superior to our earthly relationships. And some of us will even, you know, ourselves, "Hey, brother, hey, brother, hey, brother." And, you know, there are some people that are not saved. I understand about earthly brothers that you were born in the same family and household, but not everybody is your brother, and not everybody is your sister, because you have separate fathers. Your father is God. Their father is the devil. Satan is not your brother. Now, you have groups that believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers, and some of you know who I'm talking about. But that's never the case in truth and reality. And so your brothers and sisters are either those in your natural household. You had the same father, same mother. You had the same mother, different father, or the same father, different mother. But your half-brothers or whole brothers and sisters in your relationship, that's the earthly relationship. Even in there, you can't let that relationship interfere in your walk with God. Amen? But as far as your other brothers and sisters, those are those in the body of Christ. Not everybody is your brother. How can you say that? Jesus said this to the religious people. What did he say to them? "Pastor, please tell me, because I'm on the edge of wanting to know." He said, "You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and he's a liar now." And he was speaking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of the religious folk of that day. And he told them, "You're of your father, the devil, because you're trying to kill me for no apparent reason." Every head bow, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for this time with your sons and daughters. We pray that what has happened today, what has been spoken today, has been pleasing in your eyesight. We thank you for all of our guests. We thank you for those who are watching live stream. We just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you for the manifestation of the gifts of healing, and for everyone that has been healed, that they keep their healing and walk in their healing. We pray for those that may be watching, as well as those that might be in this place who may have not given their lives to Jesus Christ or really need to rededicate their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We know that that call went out earlier, and we want to give them the opportunity and the chance to make it good today before they walk out of these doors. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer of rededication for some, salvation for others, and let God and the Holy Ghost do the rest of the work. Amen? All right. If you feel that you need, because I don't need everybody praying this, not that you're proud or presumptuous, but you really know whether you're saved or not. So I don't need you to pray this prayer, but I do need those who need to rededicate themselves to Jesus, as well as those who may not have received Jesus before. I need to give them the opportunity to do it.
and they need to be willing to stand alone if they have to and pray this prayer. And whether they're live stream or whether they're in this house, we'll pray this prayer in Jesus' name. On the count of three, those of you who need to pray it in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. And according to your word and according to my faith, I am now saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Enter into my heart. Live inside of me. Make me a new creation. Cause the old things, the old nature, the old man to pass away. I let go of every evil desire, everything that contradicts your word operating in my life. I let it go now. I command it to go now in Jesus' mighty name. Fill the void. Fill the desires by the power of your spirit, that I'll have desires for you and none other. You are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Christ. Even this day, I dedicate my life to you to be used for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, whether you're live stream or whether you're here in this place, you felt you needed to do that, you ought to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Magnify his name. Father, we thank you for a wonderful, glorious day. It's the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for all of our guests that are here. If you give us the opportunity, we'd love to meet you at the right here at the altar just to get acquainted with you. And thank you for coming to fellowship with us. Other than that, you have a blessed and supernatural Sunday. We love you. We bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. He's worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Now the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. You are the foundation and the mainstay, the prop and the support of the truth. The Lord bless you everywhere you go, and may you enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Everybody who agrees said amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. It's good to be with you. We will be back here at 6 o'clock p.m. We may end up down in the MP room, depending on what they have to do as far as cleaning up the mess that's been made. Amen. Love you all.